Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 55 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have a spectacular episode in store for you today with a packed house. But before we bring on our guests, let's bring on my co-host from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's up, man?
Not much. I mean, we just got back from Arizona. That was a pretty sweet time. Obviously, the Toolshed connected for the first time in person. Got to meet a couple of these guys that are going to be here on here tonight, which is going to be a great time. And so, yeah, it was an awesome week and looking forward to getting back on the pod. So we're going to have this episode and then we're going to have another episode this week, actually recapping the fall league and all the prospects we looked at. So, yeah, that was a blast. So looking forward to tonight's episode. It's going to be a good one.
It is for sure. And I've actually met all three of these fine people within the last, 3-4 months or so. I met one of them back during the season at a minor league game. And the other two out at First Pitch Arizona, which was a blast. If you haven't gone to First Pitch Arizona, I would highly recommend doing so. It is a great event put on by Baseball HQ. Thank you to Brent, Ray, and the entire team there for putting on another great event. And I know they had to jump through a lot of hoops and do a lot to get this going with everything going on. So props to them. Big thanks to them. Let's bring on our guest here. First, our first guest is an accomplished high-stakes fantasy player that you can find at Rotographs on the Rotosaurus High Stakes Heat podcast and on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast as well. Dave McDonald joins us. Dave, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Eric. Long time no see, buddy. I'm doing good. Just kind of riding the first pitch Arizona high. You really can't say enough how great of an experience that was to finally meet all these people that we've been talking to for the past year or two, like you boys here. And, I had an amazing time. It was it's pretty much paradise for fantasy baseball and baseball guys alike. And, not just guys, and ladies as well.
Yep. It's definitely a great event. Got to meet so many new people this time that I didn't meet last time. A lot of first-timers this year. Great to see that. And hopefully we get a lot of other first-timers next year as well. But let's bring on our next guest. This man has done more for the fantasy baseball podcast industry than basically anyone on the planet. You can also find his work at baseball-pods.com. Chris, a.k.a. Baseball Pods, is in the house. How are you doing, man?
Doing great. Doing great. My only regret is that I didn't make it out to First Pitch Arizona after talking to everybody. Just excited to hang out tonight, do a little get ready for 2022. It feels like the season starts sooner and sooner, but for me, I love it. I love baseball draft prep. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world. And the fact that we can start doing it and talking about it in October just puts a smile on my face.
Doesn't it? It really does. Yes. I like basketball and football as well, but obviously by far fantasy baseball is where it's at. So I've already been working on my rankings and, just getting ready for 2022, done some mocks. I know some people were already drafting out at First Pitch Arizona. I did not. I opted to go out to even more fall league games, but I know plenty did. So 2022 has already started, even if it's not technically 2022 for another, 2.5 months or so. But we have one more person. Like I said, it's a packed house this episode. You can find him everywhere. Fantasy Deegans, Roto Baller, Line Star MLB, Always Press DFS. He's in the black book with me. And of course on the Benched with Bubba podcast. You know him as KC Bubba. What is up, dude?
What's going on, gentlemen? It's great to see and hear from you again. It's always fun chatting with all of you. And it's going to be fun to already start doing 2022 prep. FPAS got the juices flowing. That's for sure. I was a little burned out by the end of the year, but that definitely got things ready to get rocking and rolling again for 2022, which will be here quicker than we know.
It will. It's definitely.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yeah.
Joey.
As a little preview of our AFL recap episode, we'll be talking a lot about Joey Weimer, so get ready for that. He is a fan favorite, future all-star, future first ballot Hall of Famer, whatever you want to say about him. He is that. But we're not talking about Joey Weimer on this pod. Well, unless one of these gentlemen wants to draft Joey Weimer in the top 30 overall for a 2022 redraft, which, is always possible. We never know. But before we get to the draft, the usual housekeeping here. You can find all of us on Twitter. I am at EricCross04. Chris is at, or Chris Clegg. Tell me Chris is in the industry. There was like 8 of them at First Pitch Arizona. Chris Clegg is at Roto Clegg. And then you got Chris at Baseball Pods. Bubba is at KC Bubba. And Dave is at Run DMCD. I think I got all this right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You got Bubba's wrong. Bubba's at B D E.
Oh, I knew that too. Yep. My apologies.
You can type in KC Bubba, you'll find it. But
yeah, you'll find him at that. I knew I was gonna get one of them wrong. I got 5 to read tonight. I knew I was gonna get one of them wrong. Sorry, Bubba. And of course, our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our pod, please rate and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both of us. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have here on the Fantrax HQ network, including our other podcasts, SP Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. But let's get right into it. Let's not waste any more time here. It's going to be just a standard 5x5 roto draft, nothing special. Just your standard draft here. We're doing like a 15-team thing. So we'll each make, 6 picks for 2 rounds of 15 teamers. 30 picks total. Give you a quick analysis on each one. I'm sure that we'll have some other discussion along the way. The draft order is Bubba leading off, then Dave, then Chris. I'll refer to Chris Baseball Pods as just Chris, then Clegg at 4 and me at 5, and then we'll keep going after that. So, Bubba, take it away.
Well, you mentioned Joey Weimer as a first ballot Hall of Famer, future All-Star. So we'll stick with that theme with the number one pick, and we'll go with the guy with power speed, just like Joey Weimer. With steals is like becoming more and more dwindling as the years go by. It's hard to pass up a guy like Trey Turner that's got legit 30-30 upside as he keeps the power growing. At worst, you got 25, probably 35 if things really get clicking. We missed about 14 games, but he hit 328, over 300 for back-to-back years. And he's going to be leading off most likely. They're hitting towards the top of the Dodgers lineup this next year, which is just a good place to be in general. So, yeah, give me Trey Turner as the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, it also gives you middle infield eligibility at both positions. And yeah. Second base is not as thin as it has been in years past. But it's great to have that flexibility as well.
Absolutely.
So speaking of thin positions, the gentleman I will be taking with the number two overall pick is at what I think is, other than catcher, by far the thinnest position, which is third base. And that is going to be my hometown guy, Jose Ramirez. This is a guy who consistently, you know, gives you that power speed combo. You know, you're pretty much getting 25-25 with room for more in both the power and the speed categories. So I think you can expect about a 270-ish average from him, and he always gives you those counting stats as well. So for me, it's going to be Jose at number two, while also cursing Bubba for taking my boy Trey at number one.
And I'll continue the cursing people out because Jose Ramirez is my second ranked player. I would go Turner and Ramirez. I think these are the right picks. As Dave said, Ramirez is for the Guardians next year. He at third base, he has 25. I think he had 25 steals last year, and the next closest third baseman was Machado. So, I mean, with like 10 or I think he had 12. Great pick. Dave. And I'm gonna go with another guy with sneaky multi position eligibility and power and speed, and that's Fernando Tatis. And I'll be going to church every Sunday and praying for the shoulder. He's the best player in fantasy baseball. Period to me. Him Acuna, when he's healthy, could make a case for that, but I'll take El Nino and hope that all goes well.
Yeah, love that pick, and I know today they said he'd forego surgery, so we'll hope that all is well and that thing and it recovers on its own and has a fully healthy season. I'm gonna stick at the shortstop position with Bo Bichette here, and Bo really took off this year: 29 homers, 25 steals, 100 plus runs in RBIs, 298 average. Makes elite contact. The contact rates are extremely good. The zone contact over the last 2 years, right at 90%. And I think the power is legit. I think some question the power, but we saw this year him make strides in his average exit velocity and his max EV of 115.5. So I think the power can stick. I think he's a legit 25-25 guy who can hit 300, and I think that's pretty valuable. And in that Blue Jays lineup, a lot of room for counting stats. So I think Bo is the guy to take here, especially with Acuna. The injury, the question, like, I love Acuna, obviously. I think he could be the top fantasy player, but got to go with Bo right here.
And Clegg just broke a cardinal sin. I'm supposed to be the guy that always gets Bo Bichette on this podcast.
Sorry about it.
What are you doing to me here? But no, I have been just given a gift by these four fine gentlemen, and I can take the best player, best hitter on the planet, a future first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy that has never had an OBP under 400 in his four seasons in the big leagues, and he's still only 22 years old. Of course, I'm talking about Juan Soto. The one concern, obviously, is the lineup around him. Washington got rid of basically everybody that was any good around him. Josh Bell is okay, I guess. Kibum hasn't amounted to anything. But they always have a lot of money there, so I'm kind of waiting to see. I'm assuming they're going to spend at least something in free agency. Doesn't have the super high power speed of like a Tatis or an Acuna, who I almost took here, but he's, I think, one of the safest players I've ever seen. 300 plus, 430 plus OBP, 30 bombs, 100 RBI, 100 runs scored, around 10 steals. So with obviously room for more, he was the best hitter in baseball over the second half of the season. So I will be very happy to take Juan Soto here at 5.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Juan Soto at five, and in an OBP league, I'd take him number one. So
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely love Juan Soto. He's a beast, and you can't go wrong. It's like there's steals there that people kind of sometimes neglect. So don't mind that at all. Now, it got interesting for me in the next, it was between three guys, and the secret, they get picked next. But it was very, very tricky for me. But I passed on Kyle Tucker in the DC at FBAZ, and I was kind of regretting it. I kind of was. Because he had 30 home runs last year, hit 14 stolen bases, hit 294. That was missing, you know, almost 3 weeks with his COVID stuff. And he could move up to the heart of the order this year with Correa possibly leaving town, which could just increase already on 83 runs scored and 92 RBIs. The kid is young. He's just going to keep getting better. The tools were legit in the minor leagues. He's transforming into the bigs. This isn't a guy that can go 35 to 40 home runs potentially when he really gets clicking, I think, with 20-plus steal upside. So I'm going with Kyle Tucker. I can definitely understand the next two guys. This is a good spot to be in, but I'll take Kyle Tucker.
Love that pick. I love Kyle Tucker. Everyone knows that. Who's next here?
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Wake
so,
up, Dave.
So you guys left me Acuna here, which is interesting considering I was actually thinking about taking him at two before realizing that I couldn't pass on J-Ram with the third base eligibility. But, you know, there's a little bit of risk there with Acuna. He'll be about, I think, 9 months out of his ACL recovery from July of last year, but you know, so there is some concern that maybe he won't run quite as much, but this guy is probably, I mean, easily a top three most talented hitter in baseball when he's good to go. So you know, he's a fantasy baseballer's dream. He can go 40-40. You know, I'm not saying I'm expecting that, especially coming off of the ACL injury, but I'm looking to compile, you know, steals in the first round with some power. And he also gives you a solid average to boot. So, and he's in a good lineup. So really gives me everything I'm looking for. I would prefer not to take an outfielder, but I just don't think that there's anybody else that I can take here other than him.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. If you're in the middle, like after pick five, and you see Ronald Acuna on the board, it's going to be really hard to take him. That's why, like, especially if you're drafting later on in the spring, you know, get February, March, and we have a better idea of what the timetable looks like for Acuna, whether he's ready for opening day, whether it's 2 weeks in, a month, whatever it may be. Yeah, it's going to be very hard. Even if he misses a month, like 5 months of him is still like a borderline first round pick, I think. Plus, yeah. whoever you fill in with him, you know, until he gets there.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I was talking with somebody about that today, actually. Like, if he did miss the first month, I still think he could return first-round value. So yeah. I don't think he can complain about that. And I think you're right. The later we go in draft season, I think his ADP is just going to creep up the more we know. I got him at 19 in a best ball draft this year, like last week. So I'm thrilled there. I mean, I think obviously best ball is a little different game. Some pitchers pushed up, but still, you know, if you get him late first round, I think that's great value. So I think he's only going to get pushed up all offseason. So it's a good pick there, Dave.
Thank you.
I'm interested to hear more from Dave when we go through this around his opinion on getting an outfielder first. I'm going to take an outfielder here. There's just a lot of I see a lot of outfields in the future, potentially, especially next year, that where I just don't see full time at bats. And we see it in, you know, San Francisco now. We've seen it in Tampa. There's a lot of places where we're seeing a lot of platoons with the outfield. So I'm going to grab Mookie Betts here, who has the potential for me to be the best player in fantasy baseball. I'm happy to get him here. And I think he's, you know, he's going to have a nice little bounce back year next year. And I'm there. He does everything. He checks every box. And I just love getting balance early in the draft. So for me, pretty easy pick here. There are a couple other guys afterwards that'll go that I also like a lot, but Mookie for me, I just think he gives me all five categories, and I love getting that in the first round.
Yeah, I think the end of the first round is going to be the place to be in 2022, because you can get a guy that I bet you Mookie Betts is going to go in that 11 to, you know, anyway, on 9 to 13 range. If you get him on either side, come back pair up with an ace or whatever. And Mookie's going to be a great value, because if anybody thinks that Mookie's done being Mookie, then they're absolutely bonkers, I think. But, yeah, it's a great pick.
I think like 6 to 10.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. I like that 6 to 10 range or 6 to 10.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of those later picks after that 6 to 10 range, just because it's not how I want to start with more steals. And I feel like a lot of those guys are going to go in that 6 to 10 range, and then I think you're going to see – You know, some of the guys who, you know, like Bryce Harper, nothing wrong with him. I just, for me, I would rather get a guy like Betts was awesome where you got him. You know, and then you're going to start getting into the pitchers. If that's the route you want to take, great. It's just not for me personally. I think I would want to be in that middle of the first round range.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, for sure. And Eric, where'd you take Mookie in the Fantrax staff mock?
19th.
Like 19th? Yeah, that's crazy. Ooh,
that is way too big.
No one's getting Mookie Betts 19th.
No,
I don't think so.
Ever.
I don't know. Not in any NFBC live event, that's for damn sure.
No, yeah. You can take that number, minus it by about 10.
Yeah,
easily.
What do you guys think, real quick? Or go around the horn. His ADP come say February, March. I'll say 8.
I say 9.
He's 7 or 8. Yeah, I think it's going to be right in there.
Yeah, it's 8 or 9 for me.
Yeah, I think probably there, but I'll just
There'll be a few pitchers that get thrown in the mix there.
That could be too. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep the draft rolling with my next pick here. Yeah, it hurts not to get speed, but you know, get one of the best power hitters and four category producers here in Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, he finally got the launch angle together. Hit just absolute tanks, 48 home runs this year, .311 average. And I know some people may think that regression's coming, you know, if they play all their games in Rogers Center. I still think he's got enough power to sustain. Obviously, 48 home runs is probably not a realistic expectation there, but you know, the hit tool, the contact skills, and the power are all legit here. So like Bo, I think in the lineup context, you're easily going to get 100-plus runs and RBI. You know, he did this year with 123 runs and 111 RBI. And, I mean, .311, .401, .601 slash, pretty dang impressive there. And so, you know, I think Vlad's an easy first rounder, and here at 9 feels pretty good, even though he's not going to give you any steals.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Vlad fall this far. I thought he'd go a few picks before, but the lack of speed is an issue. No, you can't really have much of an issue with a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but if you want a nitpick, he doesn't bring any speed to the table, but watch him steal like 10 bags this year just to you know, be that guy. I'm going to go with another guy that is kind of similar to the guy I took. You know, these teams aren't matching up. Like, these are just, we're taking best player available. There's no team context here for any of our previous picks. But another guy that's just a really sound and studly 4.5 category producer. I'm going to go ahead and take Bryce Harper here, who was, everyone's talking about how good Juan Soto was in the second half. Bryce Harper was right there with him. You know, like Woba was, I think he actually had a slightly better Woba in the second half of the season by a few points. Just 35-13, you know, close to 200 runs in RBI, which should have been, you know, 84 RBI because he had like 13 in the middle of May or something like that, because Philly could not get anybody on base for him. He had like 9 home runs and 13 RBI, which is absolutely crazy. But .309, .429, .615 slash, elite walk rate, elite quality of contact metrics. Like, this savant page, just a smattering of red everywhere you want to look. You know, he's kept the K rate in check after his, you know, early career would have got a tad high, 26.1% a couple years ago, but it's been, you know, 20%, give or take a couple percentage points, the last 2 years. So he's been a top 5 hitter in baseball over the last 2 years, and a guy that can also give you, you know, 10, 15 steals or so. I like the safeness of Harper and, you know, how he's turned into an elite guy that doesn't get the credit he deserves. So I will take Harper here at 10, and that will take us into our break. We'll come back on the other side with picks 11 through 30. So don't go anywhere.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
All right, welcome back from the break. To recap the first 10 picks, the order was Bubba, Dave, Chris, Clegg, and myself. Trey Turner went 1, Jose Ramirez 2, Tatis, Bichette, Juan Soto rounded up the top 5. Then 6 through 10 was Kyle Tucker, Ronald Acuna Jr., Mookie Betts, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and Bryce Harper. And we go back over to Bubba for pick number 11.
Yeah, I love the Harper pick. I try to get guys with stolen bases, but I totally agree. He's not appreciated the way he should be. So
he at least gives you some. Like Soto and him, they at least give you like, you know, 10.
Oh, Soto gives you more than people give him credit. 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm going to take the first pitcher off the board. And for me, there's like a few guys I won't argue with if you take number one, because it's got with injuries and stuff still up in the air. It's an interesting dynamic. I'm going to go Corbin Burnes, though. And I'm not just buying into what he did last year. The dude's done it for 2 years in a row now. If you look at his overall numbers, he's actually better in 2020. Just he walked more guys. He lowered the walk rate almost in half, which was tremendous. But, you know, he still struck out close to 36% of the guys he faced. He was awesome. He's absolutely a beast out there. He's as consistent as they come. And for me, one thing I struggled tremendously with this past year was strikeouts, because the guys I drafted for strikeouts, well, they sucked. So, I'm looking at guys with strikeouts. And the one thing with Burnes, even when he kind of struggled a bit through starts, the strikeouts were there in bunches. So, I'm going back to Burnes. I'm, 167 innings last year. There might be some concerns about that big of an innings jump, but I'm going to hope the big boy's like a Haas, that he'll be good to go and be a number one starter for me on my fantasy team next year.
Well, once again, Bubba and I are on the same page. I have Burnes as my top rated pitcher as well. I was going to take him right here, but since he took Burnes, I'll take the guy who I have right after him in my rankings, and that's Garrett Cole. They just don't come any safer than Cole. You know what you're getting. You know, you're getting elite numbers, ERA and WHIP. You know, he'll give up some bombs pitching in Yankee Stadium, but, you really just can't ask for much better. You got the high K rate. You know, he was actually even better in 2021 than he was in 2020, even though the rate stats don't show it. I mean, he had a lower Sierra, 2.93. He just got a little unlucky, but he was only at 3.2 ERA. But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking to start with an ace at pick 12, you can't do much worse than Cole here. And that way it'll free you up, because there's not, in my opinion, the hitters at this point have kind of started to drop off a bit. So I feel like you can really get that hitter in the second round that will be just about the same as here.
JD Martinez just went yard to make it 11-3, so I throw that update out there.
I saw you like blowing a trumpet over there on the video feed. I was like,
I got my TV right literally about 2 feet from the corner of my laptop here on the wall, so I get the game going.
I can't believe you're doing this over watching your team in the playoffs. That's dedication, Mr. Cross.
It's called multitasking, Mr. McDonald. I think every time Chris and I pod, it's like some games on. It's like whether it's, mostly baseball. Sometimes it's, the Patriots are on Sunday night game or whatever. So. Something's always going on the TV that I got to keep an eye on, but it's 11-3 right now in the sixth. So I'm hoping we hold on, but with our bullpen, I was selling, like when it was a 9-0, I was telling Clegg, I was like, or with 9-3, if they got the home run, I was like, the Red Sox bullpen has a way of making 9-3 turn into 9-8 really quick. So, I'm not with Houston's lineup. This is not far from over, but all right, back to the pod.
I just want to highlight something Dave said about the first round, which I agree with. The first 10 for me are like rock solid in terms of hitters. Even with that, and there are some kind of hitters with question marks towards the end of the first. But I just look at the pitchers up top, and I kind of see a lot of them, and I see kind of a glob. And I'm in the early drafts I'm doing, I'm going to be testing out, really waiting on pitching and not going pocket aces. Apologies to Toby, but really waiting on pitching, because I see a lot of similar pitchers. And we'll see how that goes. I may change my mind by draft season, but I'm doing some early drafts that way. And so far the builds seem okay. So I'm going to stick with, well, he is a pitcher too, but I'm probably never going to use him unless this is a daily league as a pitcher. And I'm going to go with Shohei Ohtani, who, I do have some concerns about the second half, and I do think he will regress, but regression for him could still be 30-20, and the upside is there for it to be something else. And he's definitely a risky pick. I think he's but I think almost all the elite hitters at this point have some holes in their game. and I'm going to go for a little bit of upside there. So I'll take Shohei. And also, you know, arguably the funnest player in baseball.
That's for sure. Yeah, I was that was my pick. So a little snipe action there. I had everything up ready to say, but it's a great pick. I can't believe he fell this far. I think I'd even take him there if he was, you know, just hitter only. You know, you add in the pitcher aspect. Obviously, in a weekly league, you're not as likely to use him. But
well, you know. My thing, I'll be honest with you. If he was hitter only, I think, and this is what I wrote when I wrote my my first two rounds preview for 2022. I'd value him more because I'd be less worried about injury.
That's true.
Yep, so, that's my biggest concern. My biggest concern with him. Look out of Dave McDonald's book. There's a lot of risk there.
Yeah. So, next pick. Might have had the quietest 30-20 season of any player I remember in a long time.
I love this pick.
That's Ozzy Albies. I mean, yeah, the batting average was only 259, but he went 30-20, stole, I mean, 20 bases, obviously, is a good steal amount here. And then he had 100-plus runs in RBI, and that was without Acuna hitting in front of him for half the season. So you got to think that, you know, those RBI could obviously be up even more next season if Acuna's fully healthy all year and hitting in front of him. And, you know, you look at the batting average, 259. I think it's easy to be concerned about it here. But also you look at his BABIP, and it was a career low, 278. You know, in 2019, he was 325. In 2020, he was 317. The contact rate was pretty consistent with what it's been in the past. The zone contact was down a little bit. But what's notable here is that he decreased his ground ball rate by 10% from last season. And, you know, down about 6% from his career average prior to this year. And that's pretty notable. He was hitting more fly balls, which obviously resulted in more home runs, hit the ball hard, and as hard as he had at any point of his career. And then the line drive rate was up as well. So if that line drive rate sticks, you know, 20-25%, I think we'll see the batting average tick back up. And, you know, I just think he's underappreciated, and he didn't get the respect he deserved this year. So I feel like, you know, second base obviously is deeper this year since we've added some guys to that pool that have added eligibility. But, you know, Ozzy, I think, it's still the top tier second baseman, and you know, he plays, he gives you volume, and he's done that every year. So you can't discount that at all. And I think that he's in for another great year next year. Still only 24 years old, will turn 25 prior to next year. So, you know, still not even entering the technical prime of his career. So, you know, I think Ozzy's still got this talent. I'm not going to say this is a peak season, but wouldn't be surprised to see him even, you know, take another step forward.
Yeah. Big Ozzy Albies fan.
Yeah. Ozzy Albies is like one of the quietest elite fantasy players. Like him and Freeman, 100%. I don't know why. I don't know if it's an Atlanta thing. I don't know, but they're both like every year in, year out, just doing their thing, elite, you know, top two or three at their respective position, and they just always get overlooked for whatever reason. I don't know why. Yeah, so I love that pick there. I'm going to go this guy's risky for sure. You know, there's no doubting that, but I just couldn't let him fall any further, and that's Mike Trout's. Here at pick number 15. Yeah, he only played 36 games this year. That calf injury that just kept going and going and going and going, and then all of a sudden he was shut down. So maybe, you know, that was a blessing in disguise. Yeah, it kind of stunk for any of us that drafted him in 2021. But, you know, he should be fresh. You know, at least he's got that. So maybe that'll help. And I don't think we're done seeing elite Mike Trout. Like, you know, look at his last full season in 2019 when he, you know, had 600 plate appearances. You know, 291, 438, 645 slash, led the league at OBP and slugging, 45 home runs, 11 steals. I'm not counting on, especially with the calf injury, I think you're only got, you know, maybe five max going forward, but the power is still there. The average is still there. You know, he'll be an elite four category guy that can also give you, like I said, chip in a handful of steals. So I don't think we're done seeing elite like Trout. I think he's going to be good if he can get to 140 or so games. I think, you know, another 35, 40 home runs, a ton of counting stats, great average, great OBP. I think that's going to be in store. So a little bit risky here, but Mike Trout's going to be a guy I'm going to be targeting a lot in the tail end of a first round. So I'll take him here.
Yeah, he's an interesting pick. He's a topic of conversation at FPAS in the NFBC panel. Apparently, he has not played more than 140 games in a season in quite some time. So
yeah, it's been since 2016. Was the last time he played.
A lot of lower body injuries that scare me over the last couple years. The running's gone. I get that he's still an elite hitter, but in the first round, I'm not interested in Trout there, unfortunately.
I guarantee the biggest criticism, if anyone has it, of this round, this little exercise we're doing, is that Trout was not in the first round. Anytime you put anything out there, because he still has his believers, and I think he'll end up going in the first round in a lot of drafts. Maybe
he was still in the first round.
The Sharks will stay away, but a lot of people love him still so much.
Yeah, when I put out my Dynasty Outfield rankings tweet earlier, and people were mad that I had him. What did I have him? It was like 7th or 8th. I mean, it was like behind like Kyle Tucker and those guys. So I'm like, well, he's, you know, in Dynasty, he falls down a little bit. He's still great, but yeah, he definitely does have his supporters out there for sure.
I'd have him lower personally, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, there's a lot of Trout rage.
All right.
It took a second for that to click, but that is great. That is a great dad joke, Chris.
You're right. Like, he has his stands, and it's unfortunately people have – they're a little slow to adjust. So they remember him being the number one overall pick for so many years, and they're like, oh, you guys are just too low on him now, you know, a couple off years. But, you know, you really need to make changes quickly. That's part of that player name bias that a lot of fantasy players kind of struggle with, is you see that name and you think, oh, I can't drop him this low. You can, you know, you absolutely can. And you should, in this case, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think he's good in this range for me, Dave. I know you're obviously a bit lower. What's the range where you would personally feel okay taking a Mike Trout? Or are you just avoiding altogether?
I mean, I'm basically avoiding him because there's no chance he'll go where I would be willing to take him. I mean, probably, you know, like the late second, early third would be probably around the time where I would start to think about him.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious everybody's thoughts. Like, where would you take?
Oh yeah, that's fine.
I was going to ask that too. Yeah, Bubba, where would you take? Feel comfortable taking him?
It's so similar to Dave. It'd probably be like where you start thinking about taking like Aaron Judge or something like that.
Yeah,
I think about I think about taking a Mike Trout in that range, and I might still take Aaron Judge because even though he's injury prone, he's younger. Yeah. And his injuries are as goofy all around. They're not just consistently on the lower body. So I might take my chances there.
Yeah. Chris, great point. What about you?
Yeah, when I first did it, I had him a little bit lower than this. When I haven't gone through a couple of drafts, I think he's probably mid to late second rounder for me. Just like Bubba said, I put him and Judge very similarly together. So I think I like him a little more than Dave, but not much.
Yeah, and that's fair. If you are worried about the lower body injuries, I just think like that he's had all this year to get healthy, so he should go into 2022 with a clean bill of health. So yeah, it's definitely super risky, obviously, but the reward could be, you know, a top six or seven overall player. So yeah, he'll be an interesting one to see where he does fall in 2022 drafts.
Another one, obviously, in the OBP candidate
Sure.
All right, my next pick, I'm going to take another pitcher off the board here. He's a guy that I actually have as if he's like close to the number two with Cole for me, is Walker Buehler, because when you're talking about a horse, the dude's threw 207 innings this past year after throwing 182 in 2019, and for some reason, innings are always a concern about Walker Buehler, which surprises me. Over 200 innings pitched in his last two full seasons of baseball, so he gets you innings, he gets you strikeouts, he's going to get you plenty of wins because he's pitching on the but it hurts to say best team in baseball. He's that good. He's young. He keeps getting better and better. It seems like even on the starts where he doesn't have his best stuff, he pitches and doesn't throw. And that's a big thing for me. And so I love Walker Buehler. I think he's a future like multi Cy Young award winner. And I think he'd be a great guy. If you don't take a pitcher early and you wait till the second round for a pitcher, I think he's a great SP1 if you can get him, or if you go pocket aces and he falls in the back end of the second round, he can go like Burns Buehler or Cole Buehler or someone else Buehler. I think that's outstanding.
So speaking of horses, my next pick is my number three overall ranked starting pitcher with, you know, no disrespect to Bubba's pick of Walker Buehler, who I also love, Zach Wheeler. This guy has the most innings pitched thrown since 2018. And I think even like if you go like since like 2019, since 2020, I think he's the leader in all of that. This guy, they let him go routinely over 100 pitches. You know, he took a major step forward this year, which I, you know, Matt Williams and I talked about in preseason on a pod where we're talking about the Phillies adding Caleb Cotham as their pitching coach and what kind of an effect that would have on their staff. And we were both, you know, very, very bullish on Wheeler being able to change his pitch mix and really get those strikeouts going, which he did, because he's kind of struggled with strikeouts in 2020. And then he was back up to around 10.5 K per nine this year. He upped his slider percentage 10%. And this is a guy with elite velo who throws 97. And I mean, he just gives you everything you could possibly want. So I Honestly, I'm very, very happy to get him anywhere in the end of the first round or early second round as my ace. And I don't even know, I mean, what kind of a difference there is other than with Burns and Cole with the strikeout rate. You know, your Wheeler is that guy for me.
Yeah, I love Wheeler. Big Wheeler fan. He's going high this year, but he's earned it. The dude's a freaking monster. So absolutely. I don't hate it at all. I don't hate it at all.
And he just gets innings. He gets wins. Mm-hmm. He gets quality starts. And, you know, people hate those a lot of those categories, but they matter.
He's boringly awesome, if that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure.
That is perfect, Bubba. Walker Buehler is boringly awesome.
Yeah, I think Wheeler led the league in, like, innings per start this year. So.
Oh, he had to. I think he had, like, four or five more quality starts than second place, which I think was Robbie Ray. I want to say it, like, 22, 23. Right. He had, like, 27, 28. So, yeah,
Buehler had 27, I'm pretty sure. He was way up there.
Yeah, he was way up, easily number one there.
Well, I'm going to buck the pitching trend once again. And it's a weird pick, I think, because of his age. But I'm going to go with Starling Marte here. Speed is what you need, man, if you want to win. And he is just gives you a stolen base and batting average and run scored floor that is almost unparalleled in baseball. He's he is a free agent, so that makes me feel a little risky here. If he signs with a good team, though, I could see him actually moving up. I mean, the man, you would think, okay, well, he's in his, you know, I think he's 33. You know, that may be, maybe it's time for him to slow down, but he rarely got caught last year. In one of his best years ever in terms of, maybe his best year ever. And so I just think if you're going to get a guy that I feel like is going to get me 290, you know, 30, 35 steals and, you know, 90 runs on a half decent team, and you assume a contender is going to sign him. I think, That's gold, Jerry. That's gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good pick. Good pick.
Yeah. Love that pick. I'm going to kind of stick on the outfield trend. My top tier starting pitchers are gone now. So go to Luis Robert. And I think I think Robert has the best place to make the Tatis jump up into the top tier of bats. He's got that much upside. And we know that. Like, we've seen it. And he made major strides this year. Obviously, small sample, just 296 plate appearances, spent much of the year hurt. But tremendous zone contact improvement. Went from 74.5% last year to 86.5% this year. The overall contact rate went from one of the worst in baseball last year at 61.4% to 73.6% this year. He scorches baseballs. I mean, his max EV is at the very top of baseball at 117.7 miles an hour, increased his average exit velocity. So we know the power's there. We know he has speed as well. I think the batting average is the biggest question mark because we saw him do this in the first month of the shortened 2020 season where he was on fire, and then he fell off in September, hit 338 this year. Not expecting that, but I still think he's a 280 caliber hitter. He could even hit 290, in my opinion. The question mark for me is the stolen bases because we know the White Sox philosophy is not to run. We've seen consistently guys like Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada, who stole 50 bases in the minors, not really run at the major league level. So I still think that Robert's a 20 steal guy with the speed for more. Just curious how they'll use him. But yeah, I think Robert.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Has the capability to be viewed as like a Fernando Tatis caliber player. So the question mark is, does he make the jump? I think it's highly possible.
I love him. I think he's going to end up being moving up boards and be picked in a lot of end of the first rounds by the time draft season runs around. The question will be for me, you know, his health. And, you know, he's playing the fact that he's getting this exit velocity and smacking the ball around like he is. And he's admitted he's not fully recovered. Like, he's still playing a little hurt. So, I think he'll be fine by the beginning of next season, and you'll see him at the end of the first round consistently.
Yep. I totally agree with that. I love Luis Robert. He is an absolute stud. I'm going to take my number two overall pitcher for 2022, a guy that I don't want to look in the eyes because it kind of freaks me out a little bit. A guy I would I don't envy Dave Robert. I would not want to go out and take the ball from this guy late in the game to go to the
He wouldn't let you, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Scherzer would probably just like drop kick me and just like slice my neck open with his cleats or something like that. So obviously I'm taking Max Scherzer here. Scherzer's just been dominant, you know, outside of a random 374 ERA last year, but it was 2020. I'm not putting too much stock into that. Well, the last time before that he had an ERA above 30 in any one season was back in 2014 when he was still with the Detroit Tigers, 3.15. And that was barely over three. Last year, after he went from the to the Dodgers in 11 starts, 198 ERA and a 0.82 whip and 89 Ks to 8 walks in just 68 and a third innings. He's just been absolutely one of the best pitchers I've ever seen in my lifetime. The 5 pitches that he commands well, he can get whiffs with all, like the lowest whiff rate on any one pitch was his cutter. 27%. Everything else was above that, including the slider at 48.5. You know, he doesn't give up a lot of hard contact on any of his offerings, has great command, doesn't walk anybody. Yeah, he's going to be, 30? He'll be 38 next year. So I don't care. I think there's, I don't see him slowing down anytime soon, really. I think we have at least one more elite year of him being, arguably the best pitcher in baseball. Burns is my one just for reference, and then I have Max Scherzer at number two. So I will take him here at pick 20.
As long as the dead arm is good by then, you'll be fine. So that's good. But no, he's a beast. He's legit. He proved me wrong this year. I'll tell you that much. But
He was my biggest miss by far.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would say that. I think a lot of people were like, hey, he's 37. How much longer can he realistically go? It's almost like, Brady in football. Everyone's like, oh, he's, 39, 40, 41. How long can he still be elite? And he just does it. So.
And he had the neck thing last year. And
right.
And the Nationals suck. So you're just like, eh.
Yeah.
He even admitted that he had some mechanical issues that he was confident he could fix. But, guys are all, athletes are always, so sure that they're going to fix things. Doesn't necessarily mean that they were. So, maybe skipping him was a bit of a risk there. But, it's okay to be wrong once in a while. I just think that there's too many risks with him to take that shot going into 2021.
Yep. I'll still be very skeptical on them this year, and I'll admit when I'm wrong yet again. So for me, it's a deviation from my normal. Like, I usually try to get steals. So on paper, I should probably take Manny Machado if I want to go to third base or another player at second base who I deeply, deeply love. But I'm going to go with Rafael Devers because if people have drafted him this past year, he helped you probably win leagues because he is that darn good. He'll get you 5 to 10 steals. It's not like sexy. He's kind of like Juan Soto-ish, Bryce Harper, a little bit lighter than that maybe, but gets you those, but gets you tons of power. 38 home runs this year, 32 back in 2019, hit 280. He's got 300-plus average possibilities. But more importantly, his walk rate was a career high, so the plate discipline was that better, in my opinion. Striking out less than last year's shortened season, where it was like we were all confused on what the heck was going on with him. But the max EVs, the hard hits, the barrels were the best for his career, and so was the hard hits. So the dude was locked in, as Eric knows, watching him over and over again. When he hit the ball, he hit it very hard and hit it very well. And that's a tool that I like to go for because it sounds pretty lazy to say, he hits ball hard. But that's a trait you can't teach. Like we heard at Fall League, Beatty was talking about to Eno that his whole intention this whole fall is just to continually hit the ball hard. That's what he's working on because you can't teach that. And Rafael Devers does that and does it very well. He's still super young. So I'll take Devers at this pick in the draft.
That's a great pick. Obviously, I love Devers as a Red Sox fan. I feel like he's been around forever and he's still, I think, 23?
He's 24. He'll be 25 in about 6 days.
Yeah.
He's been around for 10 years. I know he's in the AL where you've got, Vlad and Otani, but I still think that Devers is going to win an MVP one of these days.
Wouldn't surprise me. He just keeps getting incrementally better every year, it seems like. So, yeah, that wouldn't surprise
me. He has legit triple crown upside if he really clicks one year. Like, he really hit, 330 and hit, 45 homers and drive in 120.
I think he already has a year where – I have to go back and look. I don't have it in front of me. I think he already had a year where he hit over 300.
Yeah, he hit 311 in 2019 with 32 homers and 115 RBIs and 129 runs scored.
Yeah, I won't be surprised. Like, I won't be surprised that, you know, within the next few years, he has like a 325, 330, 40 something homer, 120 something RBI.
I'm saying he could do it. He could, and it wouldn't shock me at all.
Nope, not. It wouldn't shock me either.
Actually, you know what? I had written someone else down here. Well, I'll just leave it as is because then I'll change other people's picks. But I'm going to go with one of the last guys to really give me what I'm looking for in these first two rounds, and that's steals, and that's Whit Merrifield. You know, this guy, just every year, you know, you think he's going to be slowing down, but here we go, 40 steals again. You know, and he gives you good average to boot. Good run numbers and decent enough RBI. You know, he had 74 RBI this year and same thing in 2019. But, you know, the homers are not great. You know, he's playing in Kauffman Stadium. That's a tough place to get the ball out. But, you know, 10 homers, he's not, you know, he's not a Judy. He's not giving you, you know, 0 to 3 homers or something like that. But, yeah, he's a guy who I just feel like as the steals are running out here early on, you got to get him. So, I'm just gonna take him with Witt at this point.
Yeah, one of the things about Witt is he does give you those sneaky RBI, and he's pretty consistent about it. And they're gonna run, and he's probably, you know, with some of the other players they've got coming up. I don't know. I mean, I still see that happening. He'll probably be able to continue to knock him in. And second base outfield eligibility.
Yeah, eligibility is big. He can play all over that diamond. I bet you as he gets older, he can sneak in at third and first too if they need him to. Like he'll go everywhere.
Good point.
So I'm going to go with a guy who I actually think is like one of the more underrated players in baseball, definitely in fantasy, and that's Manny Machado. There's so many reasons here, and I'll be honest with you, I feel like I'd be justified taking him at the end of the first round too, and I might. First of all, third base is, as we've talked about, is going to be pretty thin this year. Second of all, he does run a little bit. He contributes across five categories. And I don't know why, but like I just live in Baltimore, and watching him play third base, he was so good and he picked it well. But, you know, there's a little there that's kind of evolved around him when he was a younger player, whether he had an attitude or whatever. And I just feel like that's kind of stuck with him. But what we've seen now with him in San Diego is he's really emerged as a leader, kind of the veteran ball player who's helping these kids play right. And all he does for your fantasy team is produce across the board. He gives you just such great floor, which is what I'm looking for. And he's an iron man. You know, speaking of Baltimore, I mean, he's played 162. So these are his games played since 2015. 162, that's every game. 157, 156, 162 again, 156, 60 every game last season, and 153. And he's still not an old man yet. So he's going to give you all five categories. And there was something wrong in San Diego. I mean, Tingler era is over. You know, I'm hoping they hired Schilt because I like the way he handled the Cardinals this year. And I just think that team is due for a bounce back and a little bit of a correction. The whole team kind of went down a little bit in the second half. If you look at like Jake Cronenworth stats and others, like they really kind of slipped. Trent Grisham wasn't fully there. So I think they're going to be active in the offseason. You can count on that. So I think you're going to have a five category contributor who plays almost every day at one of the weakest positions in fantasy. And I don't know what you can ask for more than that in the middle of the second round.
100% agree. I think that, you know, next to Harper, he's one of the most underappreciated fantasy assets. He just, like you said, he consistently produces. He's on the field. He compiles stats, and I don't expect that to end anytime soon. With that being said, I'm going to go back to the pitcher well. I haven't taken a pitcher yet, but Woodruff's still in my top tier of guys, so I'm going with Brandon Woodruff here. Woodruff's just consistently produced year over year. And we've seen him kind of evolve the pitch mix over time. And this year, he had four pitches have a whiff rate of 30% or higher. The only one that didn't was a sinker. And obviously, sinkers aren't induced. Like, they don't induce whiffs. They induce soft contact and try to get grounders. And so, you know, the four pitches that Woodruff uses to get strikes, he gets strikes. He gets plenty of whiffs with them. You know, his changeup producing a 41% whiff rate is just insane there. The slider's a great pitch. Only uses 8.7% of the time last year. Like to see him use it a little bit more there, but, you know, encouraging across the board. He's pretty much a lock to walk 6.1% of guys he's done it the last 3 years. So, you know, Chris Davis over here with the 247s. Here comes Brandon Woodruff, walk rate of 6.1% in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Pretty much a lock to strike out about 30% of guys. So you're going to get a good strikeout minus walk rate. You know, this year is interesting because he allowed less ground balls than ever. and he still had produced solid numbers. So if the ground ball rate goes back up, like he's a career 45% ground ball rate pitcher, and that's with a 41% rate this year. If that goes back up, they can expect the numbers to be a little bit better. And, you know, he produced this year. The strikeout rate was a hair down, but like I said, he's going to sit at around 30%, you know, 2.56 ERA, sub one whip. Can't ask for much more. The FIP's below three as well. I think Woodruff is an ace. And to get him here, I'd be more than happy if I got him in the second round at pick 24 in a draft.
Yeah, Woodruff is a monster. Like, he's going to give you innings. He might not have the upside as a Burns, but I think he's got more of a floor. He's got a better floor than some of those guys. So
definitely
can get your a good SP1 if you took a nice hitter to start your draft.
Absolutely. Woodruff's a top five arm for me. And I think I have him – actually, where's my rankings here? I have him – I actually have him fourth overall in my pitcher ranking. So definitely love Woodruff. Doesn't quite doesn't quite get the same publicity as Burns, but he's right there. Like, these guys are all really close. All these top arms are all really close.
Pitching is so deep. Like, doing that draft and hold, it's insane who's still on the board after 23 rounds, to me at least. Like, it's ridiculously deep.
Yeah. Well, especially in a draft and hold, you got to make sure you load up on your hitters, because that's the thing, is those everyday hitters run out, and you don't want to be taking zeros in a draft and hold. Whereas at least with pitching, you can load up on a bunch of like streamable guys and you know, relievers and whatnot. You want to get a couple of early horses, and then you can kind of fill in those guys later. But the pitching doesn't run out until well after the hitters do in those DCs.
Yeah, in our Fantrax mock, I think I just took John Means as my SP8 or 9. That's like how crazy deep it is this year. It's going to be ridiculous. I went back and forth on a few players here, ultimately settled on another safer pick, Freddie Freeman from Chris's Atlanta Braves. The last time Freeman hit under 295 was during the when Barack Obama was still in office back in 2015, when he hit 276. You know, 302, 307, 309, 295, 341, 300. He's basically a lock for 290 plus, about 30 home runs. He's kind of settled into that range. Maybe even a little more. Like, he's had 38 back in 2019. He was on about a 35 homer pace last year or so, 2020, and then 31 this year in 2021. You know, 200 combined runs and RBIs is basically a lock. He can even give you a handful of steals, like 5 to 8 or so. He had 8 last year, 10 back in 2018. The dude plays games. The last 4 years, he's missed a grand total of, 7 games. Put every game in 2018 and 2020. Missed 4 games in 2019 and just 3 games last year. So, dude plays games, middle of a great lineup. He's going to have Acuna and Riley and Ozzie Albies around him in some capacity. So I think what he did this year, you know, I said 300, 31, 83, 120, and 8. I think you could see that again next year with maybe even a bit more RBI. So he ain't the sexiest pick, but he's a damn safe pick. So I will go him here at pick 25.
I was shocked he was still on the board. Like, I was ready to type him in, and then you took him. So this is a guy that perennially goes in the back of the first round, very beginning of second round. And if he falls like he is now, I might actually get to roster Freddie Freeman, because I never take him at that back end. But he's that consistency that you get early in the draft allows you to kind of take a little more chances later in a draft. I definitely like that to upside with Freddie Freeman with you there. For me, I am not drinking the same Kool-Aid as Justin Mason, but in the back end of the second round, I don't have any problem taking Cedric Mullins. We talk about steals being such an asset, and a lot of the steal guys are gone. But I got Ced Mullins, who's got power and speed. Do I think he's got 30 home runs again? No. Like, I'm good with like 20 to 25, but I do think the steals are as legit as they come. So I'm on board with 30 plus stolen bases. So we're getting a Starling Marte type guy, but a lot younger. So I'm a big fan of what he does there, leading off for the Orioles, and a great ballpark to hit in. They're going to play him every day. So give me Ced Mullins and that massive steals upside with some power and a decent batting average.
Quick ALCS update. Our future AL Triple Crown award, Triple Crown guy just went yard, make it 12-3.
Rafael Devers. Boom.
Big bomb, baby.
I think I just want to, and Bubba and I talked about this on the show. I think Mullins is a legit also. I think he's a first rounder you can take at the end of the first round, because in a weird way, I think he's got a floor of like, okay, so 260, 270, 2020,
yeah,
the 80, 90. I mean, like, if he's healthy, I don't see him doing worse than that. I mean, maybe he'll be slightly under 20 home runs, but you know, I think the stolen bases are there. And there's the thing about Mullins is, you know, Dave said earlier, you have to adjust. He made an adjustment, and it makes sense why he did what he did this year. It's not like it came out of nowhere and it's BABIP infused. Right. Totally. He totally changed the way he hit by taking away the switch hitting, and it worked. And it's not going to work for everyone like that, but it clearly worked for him. And the other thing we all know about Mullins is he's a worker and a grinder. And like, he's always he's known to be one of the hardest workers in the Orioles organization, and always has been. And he's obviously very coachable. So that's just someone I love having on the team. And the Orioles lineup is going to be, I think it was sneaky. It wasn't as bad as we thought, as most people think it was this year. And I think it'll be better next year when Adley Rutschman arrives at some point.
Yep. Yeah, so the guy that I was going to change my pick from Whit Merrifield with my previous pick was going to be Cedric Mullins for all the reasons that you mentioned. I mean, he basically gives you slightly less speed, but with more power, which I would prefer to Whit. So I love that pick for Bubba there. He was who I was once again. He was who I was going to take if he was there, but Bubba sniped me again. So. Here I was actually really surprised that Marcus Semien was still on the board, and I almost went with him, except for I decided to take a guy who, for me, he's like the last of my definitive aces that I feel safe with. And I think a lot of people don't really consider him an ace yet, but I think they will by draft time, and that's Sandy Alcantara. You know, you look at his surface numbers, you know, 3.19 ERA, 1.07 WHIP, you know, he's really good. But then if you look under the hood a little bit, look at what he did in the second half. He really raised his K rate. He went from a 7.9 K per nine to a 10 K per nine, and went from 2.6 walks per nine to 1.6 walks per nine in the second half. I mean, this guy was as elite as they come in the second half, and he's a worker. He's basically Zach Wheeler. I don't even want to say light because they're so comparable. They both throw 97. You know, he throws like the same percentage of sliders. I think 24% sliders. He gives you everything you want in an ace, and you don't have to take him like an ace. Like you probably, where I took him at pick 27, you probably don't even have to take him that high this year, and you're getting a legit ace there. So I know we pushed the Marlins, so you're going to be, you know, a little lighter on the wins, but wins are such a random stat anyways. You should never be counting on anything. You can get 10 wins from a guy in a great team, or you can get 20 wins from a guy in a crappy team. I'm not, you know, avoiding anyone just because of the team they play on. The Marlins, by the way, should be a lot, should be a team on the rise in the coming years here anyhow. So, I love Alcantara at the end of the second.
My favorite win stat, which I said during my panel at First Pitch Arizona, Brent Studer had more wins than Corbin Burns this year.
Yep, crazy.
A reliever, a good reliever. Don't get me wrong, he's a good reliever, but right. Had more wins than a guy that was, you know, we're taking his number one overall pitcher. So yeah, wins are just weird.
Yep.
I love Sandy, big fan, been a fan for a while. With my next pick, I'm going to take another guy who's just very underrated. And one of the things I love getting early if I can is some batting average floor. And Xander Bogaerts gives you batting average floor. I mean, he's not quite Freddie Freeman, but he's not far behind in terms of consistency. And I do not think people understand that about him.
Agreed.
I mean, he's 320, 294, 273, 288, 309, 300, 295. That's since 2015. And he has power, and he was actually having a really, really wonderful kind of like beginning of a breakout, but he had a wrist injury, I think, in July, and he's mm-hmm. playing through it, and it sapped his power, although he's looked pretty good recently. But it definitely, you could see his production dip after that injury. And I think after an offseason, that'll be fine. You know, I like the fact he's chips in a few steals, but give me 25. Probably a 90-90, 290. And I did consider Semien here. I like that because he's got the second base eligibility too. I know Dave mentioned him earlier. But I don't know. We'll see where he ends up playing. I think that'll impact his price a little bit. If he goes back in Toronto, it would be a tough choice for me between Semien and Xander. But I just like getting that batting average locked in.
Yeah, for sure.
Sacrificing too much.
But Bogaerts is basically 95% of Freeman, but with shortstop eligibility.
Yeah. You know, and first base isn't, you know, quite as deep as I think people think. But if you have shortstop rated as more shallow than first base, I mean, I would have zero problems taking Bogaerts over Freddie Freeman.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, like that pick. Big fan of Xander. I'm going to go with a pick of the guy that I really doubted after the shortened 2020 season. That's Teoscar Hernandez. I thought it was kind of fluky last year, but he completely backed it up this year, got better across the board, cut his strikeout rate from 30.4% to 24.9% this year, consistently hits the ball hard. And you look at the splits, he got even better in the second half this year, just continued to mash home runs, ended the year with 32 home runs. 12 stolen bases. So he's going to give you probably 10 plus there and the batting average, and I feel like previously I thought that there was a huge fallout for the batting average, but I don't really believe that anymore. His contact rates have improved. He's making much better contact. He's more efficient in the zone. And I think that you look at, he's run high BABIPs the last 2 years, but he's a speedy guy, and it doesn't surprise me at all to see him run a 348, 352 BABIP. So I'm not really expecting a ton of regression there. I think the biggest concern is that he doesn't walk a ton, but in an average league, I think that he is maybe at worst a 275 hitter that's going to give you 30 home runs and 10 steals. So I think that's valuable. And plus in the Blue Jays lineup, we mentioned with Bo and Vlad, he's going to get a ton of counting stats in the run and RBI. So I like Teoscar here and sneaking in the back into the second round.
Yeah, I'm done doubting Teoscar. The dude's just an absolute stud, so great pick there. I'm going to round it out, have a little fun here. There's a few guys I was looking at here. But I figured I might as well go with the guy that I'd be surprised if he doesn't win an American League MVP award at some point in his career. Obviously, I'm talking about Jared Kelnick. Just kidding. Not kind of kidding. I still think he's going to be pretty good, obviously. But yeah, Simeon's listening and cursing me out probably, or chuckling at me, knowing Simeon. I did lose the bet to him, but I'll go with Wander Franco here to wrap things up. Highest batting average floor I've ever seen for a 20-year-old ever. Like, this guy never hit below, 313 at any level in the minor leagues. 313, 318, 339, 327, 351. Had more walks than strikeouts in the minor leagues. It's very hard to strike this guy out. So the batting average floor, I actually set it at 300. That might sound crazy to say he's at 300 floor, but I've just seen him for so long and what he did to end the season. Look at the last 2 months as a 20-year-old down the stretch in a postseason hunt. 313 in August, 338 in September and October. So I think he's going to hit 300. But the question obviously is, all right, power speed, where's that going to be at? Did have 9 home runs, close to a 20 homer pace if you add in the ALDS when they lost to my Red Sox. But I do think he'll be in the low, 20 to 25 homer range. He's got that pop. He's got to get the launch angle up a bit. That wasn't that high. But, we were saying that about Vlad, too. Granted, Vlad has much more raw power than Wander, so I'm not comparing the two there. But I'm just saying it can be done, especially with a hitter as talented as Wander Franco is. I think he'll add, 10 to 15 steals. So basically, scale back Ozzie Albies' power speed profile a bit, but add a bunch of, 25, 30 points in average or so. He's going to be hitting right in the middle of a good, not elite Tampa Bay lineup, even though I think they're top 5 in runs, but they should still be pretty good. A lot of good hitters in that team. So I think he could flirt with 200 combined runs and RBIs as well. And I would be surprised if he's not taken higher than that. I think his ADP will probably end up in the mid-20s, if I had to guess, just because of the helium. That's usually how it goes. But I'd be okay taking Wander Franco, in this 25 to 35 range, and I think that's where he's going to go.
On brand, Clint, Eric, on brand.
I had to have – all my picks were kind of, safe. I had to, have a little fun here. I'm going Freeman Scherzer and
Soto, and then Franco to round it out.
This is really showing how deep shortstop is, because at the end
insanely
here,
insanely deep,
right? I mean, because you've still got Tim Anderson and Marcus Semien still on the board going into the third round. So you think about drafting.
You've also got you've got Polanco and you've got Javi Baez.
Right.
Dansby Swanson didn't have a bad year either. Like, it's just crazy.
I mean, so if you have an early pick this year, you know, if you go for the one spot and seeing like what's still on the board at this point, like it's looking good.
Yeah, play Trey Turner at second base, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's I was just thinking that. I was like, man, it sucks because Trey's a shortstop, but wait, you can use him as a second baseman.
Exactly. Well, you've got Turner, Semien and Polanco with that
all second base.
With all, so that's why I think I don't think short. So I mean, I know all those people are technically shortstops, but odds are most of them will end up playing on second base on the team. So maybe a little bit thinner there because I'd be putting them at second unless you in most cases unless you got like Tatis in the first or something like or sorry Merrifield earlier or Ozzy.
Yeah, and some, you know, people, a lot of people listening still play on Yahoo, where I believe Mookie Betts will be able to put second base there, too. So, yeah, middle infield's gotten really interesting.
Everybody is eligible everywhere in Yahoo. I saw Kyle Farmer had catcher eligibility in Yahoo this year.
My home league, one of my home leagues is on Yahoo. I think he had catcher first, third and short or something ridiculous. I was like everything but second, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah
Which is great. And like Isaiah Kiner Falefa, I always say that name wrong, he still had catcher eligibility because they rolled over 2019's eligibility, so like, he was a big catcher target in 2021 drafts. But yeah, that's Yahoo for you for sure.
Know your league rules.
Absolutely.
Big part of that is know the player eligibility.
So yes,
open up a lot of versatility for you later in the draft,
especially if you play auto. But yes,
yeah, absolutely. Now, real quick to wrap things up here, let's go around the board. We'll keep it in the same order that we just drafted, just so we can not get confused here. First off, let's go with a player that you were surprised didn't get picked here in these top 30.
I'll leave the one Dave's mentioned for Dave a few times because it makes sense, but I'll say this is a sharp room, so I'm not surprised by it, but I know for a fact in the first two rounds in a lot of drafts, we're going to see Jacob deGrom go off the board.
Yeah, you're going to say it.
So I'm very surprised he didn't still, just to kind of keep it going. I'm not going to touch him until I know anything about his health, so that's why I didn't take him. I'm pretty sure we're all in the similar boat there, but he's the guy for me. Like, we know for a fact if he's quote-unquote healthy that he's a steal in the back of the second round, but that's a big question right now.
Right. I'm sure Bubba was shocked that I didn't take DeGrom at some point here. Maybe with even my first pick, but no, I mean,
I was shocked.
You know, DeGrom and Tatis are both, you know, probably the best hitter and pitcher out there, but with their health concerns, it's
massive questions.
So tough. It's so tough to take them. I mean, yeah, so I've been talking about it enough. I guess I have to just go with Marcus Semien. The guy hit 45 homers with 15 steals. You know, shortstop eligible. Did he have second also? I don't remember.
He second, yeah.
He did, okay. Yeah.
Second most of the year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, again, we don't know where he'll be, so that's kind of a reason, I think, why he might have slipped in this draft. But, you know, as we get more information, he could easily come back up in here and be like a, you know, mid-second rounder easily. So, yeah, I'm surprised he didn't go, but at the same time, looking at the list, and, you know, you can make an argument for any of these guys over him too.
I mean, those would have been my top two. So picking third, I'll go with Aaron Judge. Definitely could pick him. He definitely has injury concerns, and I think that's one of the reasons. I know it's one of the reasons that I stayed away from him. But he could be the best player in fantasy baseball if he puts it all together. He's a monster, and I haven't done enough drafts yet to be sure about it, but I do think I'm going to want to get a couple of like really good outfielders that I think are going to be every day to anchor, because I do think it gets thin towards the end there in 15 teamers.
Yeah, 100%. With those guys being taken, I'll go to Yordan Alvarez, and he's a guy, a four category guy. I mean, I think that he's a 300 type hitter. He's got monster power. I think he put some of the questions about his health behind him this year with the knees. He's only 24 years old. I think there's a lot to like here. I don't think he's actually going to go in the top two rounds, but I think that with those guys y'all have taken, I think he's the next guy on my board, and I'd happily take him in the early third round, if depending on your team build.
Also outfield eligible this year.
Yeah, so that's huge.
I was tempted to take him instead of Mullins, but I love steals, so that wasn't going to do it. I could see the appeal. He's like a Harper type, just literally won't steal your base.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's kind of similar to Freddie Freeman without the couple of steals, but he's got much more power upside there too.
Yep. If you build properly in the first two rounds, I think he's a great third round option.
100%. 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
Another one I'm surprised maybe didn't go that probably will. I don't know. One of these two aren't. Probably Julio Urias, I think, could sneak into the second round, especially, you know, if he keeps pitching well here in the playoffs. He's a, you know, on the Dodgers, good chance for a lot of wins there. He continues to get better and better every year. So I think he will be a second rounder, probably back into the second round next year. So I'm kind of surprised he didn't go. Now on the flip side here, let's go with a player that you think will probably be taken around this, you know, top two round range that you're just going to avoid at all costs.
Well, for me, we kind of talked about him earlier, and I'm just going to avoid it as Mike Trout. Like we kind of talked about it. I'll be avoiding him for two reasons. I am concerned about him, and I want guys that are going to, at least on paper, play the full season. And B, there's always going to be somebody that likes him more than me in that draft. So I'm just not going to have Mike Trout. That's just the way it's going to go.
Yep.
100% agree. You know, I faded Mike Trout last year and will continue to do so this year. Several years in a row of lower body injuries, and he's obviously not going to run on top of that. But, yeah, for me, it's just – since you got none of you guys made any picks like skills wise that I disagree with in the first two rounds, so for me it's just, and nobody picked DeGrom, so I didn't even have to have that to go to. So and with Bubba taking Trout, I got to go with Fernando Tatis for the same reasons. Today I found out he's electing not to have shoulder surgery, which I think is a mistake for himself, but I'm sure people who drafted him earlier are happy. But I owned him this year, and it was like every time this dude dives for a ball, runs into a wall, swings too hard, or lets go of the bat with one hand, and he could easily go on the IL. And it can be anywhere from 10 days to out for the season. And I can't have that in my first two rounds. I get that he's, you know, the most talented hitter out there probably, but I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to get my stats that I can lock in the first two rounds, and I'll take my riskier shots after the first few rounds.
For me, the player I just won't end up drafting at this point is Wander. I like safety early, you know, although I think two of my picks are Tatis and Otani, so I don't know how safe they are. But I mean, at least they have been like the most elite player in baseball already. I have no doubt about Wander's future. I think he's, you know, top 10 dynasty asset probably at this point. So I think he'll probably have a fine year. I just think in the first two rounds you're probably paying full freight and paying for the best possible outcome. And right. I think there's a possibility he goes through some adjustment periods as pitchers have gotten a chance to take a look at him. They make some adjustments the offseason, and you know, he'll eventually adjust back, and he may not even, he's so good he may not even really adjust. And I will also say I love watching that guy play, and he's a freight train the way he's built. So I like him, but I just wouldn't take him this early.
And don't forget, he's also a Ray, so you with the playing time situation there, it's always sketchy.
He's playing if he's healthy.
They're
not gonna play with him.
No, yeah, he's gonna be in there, you know, 650 plus plate appearances next year.
Probably because he's their shortstop, yeah. But everybody else,
and he's their future of the franchise.
There's like three guys.
Juan Soto.
Yeah, there's just be three guys that, and I don't actually two now that Cruz. I don't know if Cruz comes back, but him and I think Rosarena are pretty much the safe bets for everyday playing time. And Lau,
Rosarena missed like 20 games, dude. He was just said.
I mean, like to be in there if healthy, not like
he was healthy. They just had him. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but so, you know, 145 plus games, I think, is fair for him. What's your threshold for like everyday player? Everyday player, yeah, like what? 140 plus, 150 plus.
I mean, everyday to me means pretty much you only get like the very, very one occasional day off, like one a month, unless you're hurt.
That's fair.
That's just, I mean, I guess we all define it differently, but.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to take my pick there being Wander. I just think that, like you said, I think he's an extremely talented player. Obviously one of the best prospects we've seen in a long time. I'm just not sure the power we're going to see it to make it worthwhile here in the second round. I mean, it's almost a lock that he goes around here, just the helium, the hype, everybody. I mean, he it's not like he came up and disappointed. He came up and, and hit and performed well, which is going to make the helium way too high for me. I just think the margin for error here is way too small. But with the three y'all have taken, that leads me to probably the next guy on my list, which I know will be unpopular, but it will be Cedric Mullins for me. I do think that there may be a floor here that wouldn't make it worth a second round pick. And I think he's going to go borderline first round. Obviously, a 30-30 season has been very rare and that he's in very elite company here. I just think that if the power does regress, and I do expect the power to regress, and if he's a 2020 guy that hits 260, 270, I think I can find that later in a draft with like a Trent Grisham type. And so for that reason, I'll probably avoid Mullins. And again, I think that's going to be a very unpopular opinion here, but that's just kind of my hunch here that we're going to see regression and that I could get a player similar later, which is why with the guys y'all have taken here, I'll go with Mullins as the guy I'm avoiding.
I will also go with a pick that might be a little unpopular, and I tweeted about it earlier in the day here, but that is going to be Marcus Semien. And I'm not saying I don't like Semien. I just don't like Semien in the second round. He definitely got boosted by all the extremely hitter-friendly environment. Like, he was basically playing in a hitter-friendly environment 80 to 90% of the time this year between the three different ballparks that Toronto played in this year, all of which were extremely hitter-friendly. Then you got Fenway, you got Yankee Stadium, you got Camden Yards. I think that accounted for probably 125-plus games for him. And obviously, he could resign in Toronto. It definitely could. I just don't know if he does. They have so many middle infield options of the top prospects coming up. So I wonder if they kind of shift gears there, get like a cheaper stopgap, and then kind of use that money on pitching, which I know they were trying to, you know, do, even though they had a pretty good pitching year, you know, Robbie Ray breaking out, obviously Alec Manoah too, but I think they might spend that money on pitching and let Semien go. And if he goes, so outside of Houston, cause you look at his profile and all but two of his home runs were basically pulled. Most of those really pulled. So unless he goes to Houston with the Crawford boxes, I just don't see him replicating the season. I think you could probably cut 12 to 15 homers off there. He's a 250, 260 hitter. So that he's like Ozzie Albies, but scaled back a bit. So again, I'd be fine like mid to late third round or so. I would definitely be okay with that. But I just think that there's a good chance for a lot of regression here in 2022. So I'll be avoiding him in the second round here. So,
Dave,
I saw you want to jump in, Dave.
Oh, no, I was just saying. So you're just talking about like the theoretical second round, not our second round where he didn't go, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's gonna go second round, but
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't take him second round. Like I said, I think people are like, "Oh, you hate Semien." I'm like, "No, that's a total
issue."
You say something like not glowing about the guy. You obviously hate him, but I still think he's a decent like mid to late back end third rounder, like around, you know, pick 40 or so. But I think you have to have at least 90%+ of a repeat of this year, and then I just don't think it's gonna happen unless he comes back to Toronto. Even then, I'd still have some home run regression from him this year. But yeah, I'm gonna be avoiding him. But that's gonna wrap us up, gentlemen. Thank you very much. This was a blast to have you guys on and looking ahead to 2022.
Heck yeah, good times.
Thanks so much for having us, guys. Yep. Really having a good time.
Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you to everyone for listening again this week. We hope you all enjoyed this. I know I did. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at EricCross04. Clegg is at RotoClegg. Chris is at BaseballPods. Dave is at RunDMCD. And Bubba is at BDentric. And you can follow our show at FantraxToolshed. Check out all of Chris and I's written work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. And join us again next week for more Dynasty and Prospect Talk and maybe some redraft as well. But until then, everyone take care.
Hey, Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.